in such need of the help of God, by and through the Holy Spirit, I venture now to direct your thoughts and attention to the word you will find in the portion we have read together, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and reading verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Here, dear friends, is one of the many utterances of one who was described as the wisest man that ever lived. But these words are found as part of God's holy word, and therefore they have all the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. And, dear friends, what truth is set before us here with an exhortation? Indeed, really, there are two exhortations in this verse. Two exhortations. First of all, the word says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And, dear friends, how short do we come in this? I'm thinking, spiritually viewed, for the most part. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Oh, and yet, when the Lord does come and bless, I believe that a poor soul will be able to do nothing but be joyful. When the Lord crowns his gospel with success, oh, then what joy and peace there is in believing. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And the Lord knows those here who have been indeed favoured to know such a day in your life, or days in your life. And there is that word, that expression, the dew lay all night upon your branch. In the day of prosperity, when the Lord brings a poor sinner out of Egyptian bondage and sets them free and leads them into gospel liberty, what a blessed time. I believe John Kershaw's account tells us how he was set free by that word in the Epistle to the Romans. There is therefore now no more. I turn to it to find the words as they are. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, what a blessed day of prosperity when a poor sinner is set at large, set free, no condemnation. And, oh, dear friends, there have been those who've had such a glimpse that their sins are no more found. They have been cast behind his back, the God who has in his sovereign mercy come and shone into a poor sinner's heart and has set them free. The poet sings in this way, "Join thou my soul, for thou canst tell how grace divine broke up thy cell and loosed thy native chains." And still, oh friends, can we come with the poet even in this? "And still from that auspicious day, how oft art thou constrained to say that grace triumphant reigns. In the day of prosperity, be joyful." Oh, dear friends, I said just now how short I come, and the Lord knows how it is with each of you. Oh, dear friends, we do we not? We come so short. And there were those in God's word who did not give the honour and glory to God as they should. And there was that occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in that way. "Were there not 10 lepers cleansed? And where are the 9? But there was one who returned to give thanks and to praise and bless the Saviour for his mercy and for his goodness. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But also the day of prosperity, we may think of days of prosperity collectively in Zion. And dear friends, what more in some ways is there to bring joy to the Church of God than to have the answer of the travail for souls made clear with those who have come, those who have been favoured to find a precious Christ and have brought him into their mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived them in the day of prosperity. And dear friends, what days they are. As Zion has known, those former days, often it is former days that we may look back upon. And yet we have read, haven't we, this afternoon, that we are not wise to inquire why, what is the cause that the former days were better than these. What teaching there is in the Word of God. Oh, we want to know, perhaps, oh, if we could, but as it were, bring about another time, days as we have been witness of in years past. But, dear friends, these things are the work of God. And in the day of prosperity, be joyful. well, a very great blessing when the Lord brings these days of prosperity. And none can do it but him. There will not be real prosperity unless the Lord has done it. And oh, friends, how there have been those times when there's been, as it were, a false dawn or a false sense of awakening. And when times of trial have come, there has been a different light upon what was thought to have been the case. But, dear friends, when the Lord brings these days, Zion will indeed rest for a season in his love. We'll know the smiles of his face, and individually there'll be that acknowledgement and that sweet testimony. That sweet testimony, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And then for the Lord's servants, what a time of joy when there is the a reward of that labour, and God has been pleased to grant those seals to his servants' ministry and souls for their hire. And there has been a fulfilment in some measure. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Oh, then, dear friends, these things are known, have been known, but where, perhaps, we may wonder, are we today? And you see, then, this word looks at the other side, shall I say. But I want to notice an important thing. So, first of all, we have, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Oh, that we could indeed be joyful in the Lord. And one has said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And what a blessed day. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But, now there is a but. And dear friends, there are other days. And there is that which here you might say is the opposite. But in the day of adversity, I have no doubt that these words, prosperity and adversity, are based on Latin words which mean opposite things. But you see, the one is the opposite of the other. In the day of adversity. But, dear friends, what does the Word of God say? What is the Spirit of God exhorting us to do? It does not say, in the day of adversity, be sad. We might say, if the opposite were taken to its natural conclusion, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, be sad. Now, it does not say that. And friends, this is what I felt laid with a measure of weight upon my own spirit. Oh, that the Lord might speak through his word. You see then, dear friends, what the exhortation is, but in the day of adversity, consider, consider. And what a great deal there is in this exhortation. And friends, how it becomes us to take heed. We are so prone, left to ourselves, when there is a day of adversity. In other words, when things do not go well, when things may seem to go against us, when, as the disciples proved on the sea, the wind was contrary. We are apt indeed so soon to be filled with dismay and sorrow and many things which, left to ourselves, only sink us lower and lower. But in the day of adversity, and the Lord is a sovereign God. This same man, Solomon, says, I believe in this same book, that in the life and path and experience of the Lord's people, the days of darkness will be many. But dear friends, you see, there is something to be learned, something to be shown, something which we need the Lord to do for us. Because I am sure of this, that if we are left to consider the day of adversity by our own wisdom, we will never understand it. Well, if we do think we understand it, we will come to erroneous conclusions. We will make mistakes. And of course, left to ourselves, we may even be left to making unwise accusations or unfounded conclusions. And so easily we can sink into darkness. But dear friends, this is the word of God. This is the word of God to help us be brought closer to the Lord. And I hope the Lord will help me bring a few of his truths before us. So, but in the day of adversity, consider. And oh, dear friends, how much it takes to make some of us come to this place. In the day of adversity, consider. I think for a moment of Job. He was a man who was favoured with much prosperity. And when we read at the beginning of the book of Job, it was not just his material possessions. His substance was great. But it was also that he was a man who is described as being perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. The day of prosperity. But it pleased God to permit the adversary to come. And the Satan was, as it were, let loose. And it was in two stages First of all, there was the loss of his possessions and his children. And then Satan came again. Friends, sometimes the Lord permits, as it were, the enemy to come in again. When we think or feel that we have taken all that we can withstand and all that we can bear, the Lord permits the enemy to come even closer. And so he did with Job. But you see, dear friends, though Job was blessed with a very blessed spirit after that first visitation, he could say, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. But then the enemy was permitted to put forth his hand and touch Job's bone and his flesh. And oh, what a sore affliction was then laid upon Job. And friends, if we read through, and as we from time to time may have it brought to our attention, how Job was brought to consider the works of God, the hand of God, the sovereignty of God, the sovereign right that God had to do with him as was pleasing to God. And presently it brought Job to that place where he could say nothing more but, "Behold, I am vile." And so you see, dear friends, how Job was brought to consider his real state before an holy, heart-searching God in a way that nothing else would have brought him to. And in the day of adversity, consider. And these things come, dear friends, very close when the Lord permits these things to come to pass. In the day of adversity, consider. But before I venture seeking to speak upon that, consider more, if the Lord will help me. I do want to, perhaps at the moment now, look at the purpose of God. You see, dear friends, there is a purpose. And this same dear man, though Solomon was left in his later life especially to fall away in measure, yet he was a child of God. And in his own, this same book, we have, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And there is a conclusion, there is a purpose of God, dear friends, in all his dealings with us. And oh, if we could but be brought to humbly see his purpose. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Now, this is the purpose of God. God also hath set the one over against the other. And this is the purpose, to the end that man should find nothing after him. And dear friends, this puts man in his right place. And yet, when it comes to us personally, it is so much more real. God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Was it not Solomon's father, David, who in the psalm said, "For what is man? What is man that thou shouldest be mindful of him, or the son of man that thou shouldest take account of him?" And yet there is that in our pride. Oh, some are afflicted with this pride much more than others. But we perhaps have that desire. We may not think of it as such, but we have a desire that we might make our mark, that we might leave some mark, to carry our name, have some lasting thing in the earth. And this is evidenced throughout the whole of the human race and the whole of the world, the things that man does and has done to, as it were, secure a lasting name among men. And I know there are extremes in these things. And dear friends, we might not think of ourselves in that way. And yet, if the Lord shows us, you know, sometimes we have to see that what are we doing certain things for, and what have we done them for? To make some kind of lasting impression, some kind of memento, or a thing that we might have, as it were, our name going on after us. Well, dear friends, you see how close some of these things come, and solemnly they come close to us at times when the Lord shows us in the matters to do with the house of God and the cause of God. But you see, what was the spirit of Christ? What was the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation? No reputation. And friends, the Lord will have his dear people come into the same place. Oh, he will. So, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. It makes me realise, and I know the time is fast hastening, it makes me think of the word the Apostle Paul spoke in that first epistle to the Corinthians. And I do not read it all, but the things that God has chosen. And this is the end, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory. Oh, dear friends, well might we tremble when the Lord deals with us in the ways that he does, that no flesh should glory. And it will be painful to our flesh. But I do want just for a few moments to look at the word consider. In the day of adversity, consider. Now, we have in the previous verse one of these ways. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? And dear friends, you see, oh, if we are made wise, we will not try and sort things out in our own mind. We shall never find that to be profitable, not in our own wisdom, not in our own understanding, because there are such things as are spoken of in this preceding verse. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? And dear friends, you know what this means. We need the grace of submission to his sovereign holy will. Consider the prophet Haggai comes with a searching word to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And the Lord knows indeed our need in Zion, but that time came, the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" You see, it was a time of adversity. And dear friends, in Zion today, really, whilst we have that hope that the Lord has not left us entirely, because I believe we would not be able to continue if he did leave us, we have those tokens that he has not altogether forsaken the work of his own hands. But in Zion, in many respects, this house lies waste. How many of our little causes of truth, the little chapels there are, and they are all but on the point of being closed. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Friends, we need to take it to heart. I remember some years ago, my dear one and I, with our little ones as they were then, went on holiday in Wales. And we went to one of the Welsh, I suppose it might have been a Welsh Presbyterian church or chapel. And you could not say that everything was exactly as we are used to, but I do remember being greatly reproved that the word that I believe he was the servant of God in the word that was brought, it was the word in this first chapter of Haggai. And now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I do not need to go through these things. They are there, you know, friends. There were those solemn things that the Lord had to tell them, which had befallen them. And so he twice tells them, consider your ways. But then the exhortation was, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified. But there were further warnings given in that chapter. But dear friends, you see, consider in the day of adversity, consider. Oh, to be given grace to consider why our God, it's not the former days, but why our God seems to have withdrawn his blessing. Oh, friends, our sealed houses, how much we do in our own homes today. We live in far greater comfort than our forefathers did. And there are those older than I am, and I'm sure you remember things in your childhood. I remember certain things. And in my lifetime, 60 years ago, and when I was a bit older, 50 years ago, oh, how different things were even then. We have far more comforts. But dear friends, it's all to do with our own sealed houses. But what about the house of God and the cause of God? In the day of adversity, consider. And how we need to consider. Oh, friends, and how many times the Lord in his word exhorts his people. Again in the prophet Malachi, the Lord exhorts, doesn't he, what they had need to do, where they had fallen short, where they had gone wrong, and what they were to do. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Now that does not mean money literally. Some take it to be so, a tenth of everything they earn. Well, I leave that. But, dear friends, the tithes. Have we not cause to be thankful to the Lord for being spared, and that we are still upon praying ground? And whatever our adversities may be, we have still something to praise God for and to thank him for. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Consider. And then we have the words of the Lord Jesus. I know there is not much time, and I only have time to just briefly bring these before you. But when the Saviour was speaking himself to those who were gathered, the Sermon on the Mount. And you see, dear friends, there, his word to them was this: and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now what does this tell us? In the day of adversity, consider. Friends, it's not to consider what we must do in our flesh. Oh, friends, in toiling and rowing, our strength is decayed. But what was it that the Lord says here? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. They toil not. Neither do they spin. Friend, how much do we toil? How much do we, as it were, spin, seeking to try and put our adversities right, to please God as we may think we have need to do? But friends, consider. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Consider. In the day of adversity, friends, it is nothing with him to help. That's a beautiful word. When the king and his people were under threat, oh Lord, they cried, it is nothing with thee to help. In the day of adversity, consider. And then lastly, dear friends, I feel I've come very short, but this is the best of all. And some of you may know what I'm turning to. In the day of adversity, consider. Because, dear friends, There is nothing better to consider than this. For consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ, for consider him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In the day of adversity, consider. Oh, to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, dear friends, the Lord will show us everything in his light, and we shall see that all has been brought by his sovereign will and purpose. All must come and last and end as shall please. Can we say, my heavenly friend? Amen.